Same deal, only just a different approach with these calves. We're going to process them too, but we're going to work on that line at the back rather than worry about making a turn. Okay, there's calves laying down in here. See them getting up? Give them a second to get up. You know, I don't know about you, but I don't particularly relish the thought of somebody jumping on my rib cage when I'm trying to get up in the morning. You know, it's like, oh, that's not nice. So we just give them a second to get up, let everybody get mobile, and then here we go. The gate is up here. We're working this T across the back. His job is to make sure this corner is headed straight toward the gate, and my job is to bring those down the fence. I mean, every time I handle these calves, every single time I am reinforcing all this stuff. Every single time. You don't get any freebies because you pay for it if you do. And see, you know, this when you go to ship your cattle, wouldn't you like them to come up into the corral like that and go over the scale and get on the truck like that rather than coming in there on the end of a rope, or you had to chase them for 3 or 4 hours to get them out of the pasture? That's how I want mine to act on sale day. Okay, see this calf turn back in when he stepped out there? Those are the things you watch for, and they will tell you exactly where you have to be all the time. If you watch, they will tell you. Okay? Dr. Lynn caught us making a mistake up here in a second, which is embarrassing, but anyway, it's a good teaching tool. These kind of cattle will lull you into believing they're really easy to handle. These are the ones that'll get you in the end because they wait for you to make a mistake and then you pay for it. Okay, I'm coming on this corner. The gate's right in here. But see how these are starting to turn a little bit? I should have left these alone. Okay? Too much. See what's happening over here? See what's happening? These heads, I'm too far over here. There's too much pressure coming. I should be working right here. Both of us should be. Now, he gets this one turned, but watch what happens here in a second. He walks straight toward that. He's coming out of there. He said, hey, man, you can't do that. There's nowhere for me to go, and you're going to pressure straight in. I am coming out of there. And that's how subtle the difference is. They absolutely know exactly where you are and what you're doing. Okay? Coming out of the slant again. You don't have to get in here and shove them. Give them a second to turn around. They'll draw each other out. Okay? You count as many as you want. You back up. Everything slows down. No banging and crashing in the slant. Okay? Work your Z in the alleyway. This is process day for this group of calves. Okay. It's best if it is. We've tried it both ways. We put the plywood on it and then took it off. And because I'd run them through once before, it wasn't a real accurate test. I think it's best if it is. Generally speaking, I would say it's best for it to be solid. Okay? All right, that's the goal. We're out on grass, out in the mesquite. I got a worthless little hired hand back there bringing them. And that's what my moves are like. Here's our ranch at Bowie, 7,200 acres, all barbed wire fence around there. All the rest of this is single electric wire. So it is in my best interest not to teach them to run through an electric fence, number one. And number two, to be able to drive them, because it's a long ways from right there to the corrals. I have a little training pen up in front, just in front of my house. It's maybe, what, Dr. Lynn, 4 or 5 acres? This area in here? 4 or 5 acres. And I let them, the corrals are right up here, and the feed bunk is right up here. And just about every group I let out in here first, in a little bit bigger area to drive them before I, you know, kick them out in the mesquite. I've got electric wire that runs along one side of that, and I I let them, generally let them drift up into that and touch it a few times. And if you have that really good and hot, they'll do it once, and then they're, you know, unless something shoves them through it, that's what happens most of the time with calves in particular. It's not that they walk up there and, you know, jump over it. It's that something scares them and 200 of them hit it at the same time while they can't really stop. So I do have that up there, but a lot of the problems you have with electric fence you solve back there in the pens. Yes. The height, I usually, on me, I have long legs, but it's, you know, maybe there, okay. I just have had so very few that would jump over it. In fact, I've had more that would try to go under than over, which is, I thought that was odd. I didn't have a lot of experience with electric fence till I moved to Texas. We had some in Canada, but, you know, it was so hard to keep it hot up there. We had trouble keeping it hot down there. It's hot, believe me. I've touched it a couple times. Okay, this is our first turnout on this other group of calves. The Charlet calves we turned out into a trap south of the pens. We've got a camera on a deer stand down here, and Dr. Lynn's in a deer stand up here, just to show you how they act when you first turn them out if you spend some time with them in the pens first. This gate right here is open, and there's a gate down here that's open. Okay, and we opened these gates, turned this camera on, and Dr. Lynn and I went with the four-wheeler to the very far end of this little four-acre trap. Okay, and this is what they're doing. I mean, they're drifting out. We didn't drive them out. I opened the gate and just let them drift out of there. And this is, you know, they're not running for their lives, or this is, you know, the second day away from their mother, and they're already semi-diffused. You know, they do bawl a little bit. I don't worry so much about the calves bawling, and if they're not all stacked up in a corner and looking like they're, you know, ready to come unglued, they're going to bawl a little bit. I used to worry about that a lot, and I finally just, as you know, have accepted that it's going to happen some, and I worry a lot more about what I do with them in terms of, you know, working with them and getting them to where they feel comfortable to eat. Okay, almost all of them are out of the corral now, but they're dropping their heads and eating grass. These guys found a few little pellets that somebody missed. That's how I want them to come out of the pen. That right there. Now, they're going to move a little bit. They're not just going to stand there. And we're going to pick up a little bit of movement. It's going to start to pick up in here. But see these calves back here? That all helps slow this down. I'm in front. I'm going to just go back and forth a little bit. I don't want to turn them and run them back this way, but I just want to be in front and say, okay, that's, you know, just slow down a little bit. You don't need to go any further than this. That's where that in the alley back and forth pays off. This is wide across here, and I stopped the whole herd by standing in one spot going back and forth. Another very good thing to do, and I do it with every single group, the very first time I turn them out, and they all, you know, they all came down, I turned them around. When they're all acting like they're kind of walking a little bit, I turn them around and I drive them right back to the pen. Every time. That makes them so much easier to gather the next time. If you turn them out there and leave them and go gather them the next day, they're much more difficult than they are if you do it right away the very first time. I mean, these calves have never been driven outside of the pen. This is the first time they've been let out. And look how they'll drive. And there's that four-legged horse. Pardon me? These calves have never had anything done except on foot. That's the first time they've ever seen the four-wheeler. Okay, but the message is still the same. I'm coming back and forth across the back. I'm not just, you know, getting behind them and wah, 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 wah on the throttle. And a constant, steady speed, that's something when you're on a four-wheeler in particular, it's hard to gauge how fast you're going. Try to keep it fairly consistent. If you're slowing down and speeding up all the time, I found that they'll get a little bit, you know, worried about that sometimes. If you can keep the speed relatively constant, they accept the four-wheeler in the same way they do you on foot or horseback or whatever. what I find with the four-wheeler is the tendency is, you know, all of these principles that we talk about are based on flat angles. You know, you work back and forth, you work ahead and back. With a four-wheeler, by nature, because they're harder to turn, I mean, I can turn like this, but a four-wheeler, you get this. And so you tend to give up that good sharp angle that you need to keep. When you get out in bigger pastures and these calves are broke to drive, it's not that big an issue. But brand new calves like this, you have to be careful with a four-wheeler because you end up doing those sort of sweeping turns and they don't like that a whole lot. They don't respond as well to that as they do to a good sharp. And they, believe me, they know the difference. I don't know how. I mean, I can't explain to you how they know any of this stuff. I just know they do because I've seen it for 15 years over and over and over again. Cows and calves, baby calves, yearlings, they're all the same. Okay. Oh. Yes, sir, I do use a dog. And we've got a little bit of video of the dog. I just wanted to show you this. These are five calves that went through the bunk that night that they came in. They have never been driven. I've never done a thing with them. They're out in that little trap. See where I'm working? See this calf right here? I'm going to pressure ahead on that zigzag. As soon as they respond, I step off. Pressure comes off, okay? And I'm going to widen out a bit because as they go ahead, they can't see me in here. See, he turned. I'm going to pressure ahead. Pressure ahead. The second he gives that to me, I'm out. Okay? Pressure in. As soon as they respond to that pressure, you go back out. See, they've stopped. As soon as they go on, come back out. I'm going to pressure his head. Again, in and out, and I'm just working this angle all the way up. Okay? They speed up a little bit. I'm going to widen out so that they can see me. The reason I'm not working back and forth here is this fence. And if I come in behind them, I can't go on to where they can pick me up out here. They're going to be hooking around. So I'm working out here where they can see me. You don't have to be behind them to drive them. You absolutely don't. And when I'm pressuring forward, I'm actually pressuring right at that calf's head that's looking at me. Okay, as soon as he gives that, straightens out, I back off. I'm going to pressure in again. Move them on, and then I'll back off. And all the way along there, I'm just teaching them. If you go straight, I'm going to leave you alone. All you have to do is go straight. I won't go behind and shove on you or wave my arms, do any of that stuff. If you go on, I'm going to stay out here, and everything's cool. But when you stop and look at me, I'm going to pressure you. Okay? Now, the closer we get to the gate, the more and more relaxed the calves are. And this right here is exactly opposite of my experience prior to Bud Williams. Used to be you'd go out and you'd get started, and the closer you got to the corral, the more you lost. And it's absolutely because of what we do. These calves walk down here and into the corral. They look like they've been driven for 10 years already. They're no more stressed than fly to the moon. And all the way along there, I was just teaching them a very basic lesson, which is, if you do what I ask, the pressure comes off. Okay? And they're back in the corral. I mean, no big deal. I'm on foot. You know they can outrun me. They don't even try. They don't even try. The biggest group I've handled by myself on foot was 1,400. And I mean, they were broke calves. Now, don't get me wrong. I wouldn't be turning that many out, you know, like this. But they were broke. There were calves that I worked in the feedlot and went out to grass in Canada. And I could do it on foot. I could do it with dogs, with a horse. It was absolutely no problem. Okay? This is just a big pasture that I turned them out into. We mixed the two groups together. I believe our next clip is the dogs. Some folks have asked about dogs. These calves were processed, okay? Whenever you put your cattle through the chute and vaccinate or do any of those things, very important that you get them up and move them around that day and the next day because they get stiff and they get sore and they'll lay around all day and they don't eat and they don't gain weight if they don't eat. So We put those two groups of calves together and turned them out in this big open field, and we drove out, this is Dr. Lynn and myself, I put a couple of dogs around them, and they're coming in for feed. And if we could, you know, teach people to work cattle as well as these dogs do, we'd be in business, that's for sure. One of these dogs is white. You'll see him over in here in a second. See how they keep everything headed straight toward the gate? He's going to swing over here in just a second and knock this corner up. See him back there? See how everything comes straight to the gate? They work that line across there, keep it all nice and even. Now, when I walked out the gate, I turned and walked up the road this way, and this dog knows that I did that. Watch him come through there. He's coming up there to turn the cattle to me. People curse their dog for doing that. If you have one that does that, I'd like to talk to you. He came out ahead of the cat. Look at her stand back there, and she knows they have to all come through, but he knew that they had to turn. He saw me turn and walk up the road, and he went out there to turn that corner, and she came here to help him because she thought he was worthless, but he managed to get it done. And they come back. They bring every calf. No problem. Okay. Now we talked a little bit about, you know, the benefits of doing all this work in the pens. We moved these calves over to another piece of ground that my boss owns. This is a 100-acre paddock in here. They're on grass. They're not getting fed, and I'm moving them, you know, depending on what the pasture's like, probably every 2 or 3 days. So they've never been here before. They're scattered all over the whole pasture, which is, you can see how they're scattered out here. The bulk of the cattle are over in here. And that group that I went to first, there was some laying in this brush, and I just drove down there and got them up. That's all I did. Okay? See, they're up. The gate is up here in this direction. But I just wanted to get them up and make sure there was nothing still lying down in the bush. I'm not terribly concerned about where they're going right now. Now, I'm coming straight across the back. Okay? Four-wheeler's right in here, right there. Okay? I'm going to come straight across the back. All these principles still apply. If you're in 10,000 acres, you still work on a T to a gate. Okay? So what I'm doing now is just taking like this across the back of that pasture. And it's hard on video to get any depth perception. Sometimes it looks like I'm way ahead of one group of cattle and way behind another, but I'm not. I'm keeping it, it's very flat across the back. Okay, and I'm going to, over in here, there I am there. These cattle need to come like this. Just kind of get everything up. What I try to do out there, since I've taught these cattle to drive straight, when I start them, I want them headed toward the gate. I don't go and gather everything into a big knot and then try to go to the gate. Every animal I move, I want it to come to flow to the gate in this direction. Okay? So we've got some movement coming here. There's still cattle over here. And I'm keeping this flat. In other words, there aren't cattle back here. Okay? This is a straight line across. And I'm keeping it even all the way across the back. That's because that's how I taught the calves to drive. We tend to shove the corners up when we're driving cattle, and you get into trouble with that because as soon as you get up the side, then you slow the middle down. That's why the middle is hard to drive when you shove the corners up, because you have a person that's actually ahead of them and somebody trying to shove on them from behind. That's a mixed message. They don't savvy why you're doing that. So then they start breaking out. That's how you strip calves from baby calves from their mothers. You should never move pairs and have them not mothered up. I mean, that just drives me nuts if I have a cow that doesn't take her calf with her all the time. They should be together the whole way. Okay? Everything's coming. This is a pretty rough pasture. You can't tell it by the video, but there's a couple of spots where they have to cross a ravine, so they're not necessarily headed straight to the gate, but they're headed to the crossings. Okay? And I'm just coming back and forth across here. The majority of the cattle are in the middle, so, you know, that's the ones I'm driving. and I bring the edges up to be even. I don't drive the edges and then come back to get the middle. A good lesson Bud taught me was that you always drive from the middle and guide from the edges. Okay? So if you're wanting to create good movement, you do that from the center. If you're trying to turn them or guide them, then you work either corner, depending on which way you want them to turn. Okay? Everybody's coming along up through the middle of the pasture. I'm just working back and forth. On the four-wheeler, you know, you can cover a lot more ground, so I'm taking a pretty wide swath across there. If I was on foot, I probably wouldn't go quite as far. What I want you to notice is this right here. These are all the calves that I got up right at the very beginning that were in that corner over there. They were all laying down. I have not come back past this point. I have never gone back there to drive these calves. And look at them coming. I have never come back here. That's what good movement will do for you. That's what teaching cattle to drive will do for you. That's why you can gather huge pastures just like that, because they are drawn to good movement. And by that I mean movement that's headed in a direction, that's going straight and isn't a panic type movement. And they just, you know, I've been working the middle and this side, but I never have gone past the center of this pasture, never. And look at all these cattle coming. I never had to go back there. And that all happens because of what we do in the corral that first 4 or 5 days. Every time you work the calves. Yes, sir?
Were you rotating to another pasture?
Yes. Yes. We're going to another pasture. You'll see it in a minute. There's a water lot right up here that they've been watering out of, and the gates are all, it's a circular water lot. And, you know, it's all been closed up, so they have no idea there's a gate there. And I just opened the gate through the water lot, and they're going into this pasture right up in here. Yes. No, I don't, because I found that I won't say it, that you shouldn't call your cattle. But what I found happens, in fact, that's how I ended up in Texas, is my boss has, you know, this place I'm on is all set up on a rotation grazing pastures. And he had a cow herd that, I mean, every time you'd fire the four-wheeler up, they were slammed up against the gate wanting to get moved. That's sort of the situations you can create doing that. There's nothing wrong with them coming by you. As long as you go out to your pasture and they're all scattered out there eating and you call them and they come, fine. But if you go out there and they're all standing at the gate with their tongue hanging out, you've got a problem because they're not eating when they're doing that. Okay? You can see how... See how quiet and easy they move. They have no idea that gate is open up in that water lot, but they trust me enough to know that I wouldn't be driving them there if there was nowhere to go. There's no time during this whole move does any calf turn around and say, hey, this is a trap, and we can't get through there. They don't do it. They all just, they know there's somewhere to go because every time I've driven them, I have reinforced that to them. There's 350 head there. And they're just going through a little opening in that electric fence right there. They shouldn't go into a new pasture just on the dead run, you know, going from corner to corner to corner. This is about a month out after the last group was weaned. See how they just scatter out and go to grazing. That's how they should act when you change pastures. Now, I'm not saying it isn't. I really do like to see them buck and play when I'm moving them. If they start bucking and jumping and butting heads and playing, that's fantastic. I like to see that. They're feeling good. But for them to run through the gate and down the fence and hit the corner and then run down to the other corner, that's a problem to me. And I would never leave cattle like that. If these calves had done that when I moved them, if I would have had to been there all day, I would have worked with them until I got them to quit doing that. Okay? Yeah, why don't we? I've got some more dog clips. Sorry we didn't get to that. So that's basically, you know, what I do with new cattle. And all of this applies to the cow-calf, to everything, every type of livestock, goats, sheep, whatever you happen to be running, it's all the same principles. And 99% of it is our personal attitude. Calves do not have to get sick and die and lose weight. When people tell me that 2.5% death loss is acceptable, that just makes me cringe, because to me 0% is acceptable. I recognize and understand that some calves are going to die, but probably 90% of them die for no good reason. It could absolutely be prevented. Yes? Yes, ma'am? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Not realizing that's what we were doing. We were doing what we were doing. How do you feel about talking to them? I'm constantly talking. I didn't have a great deal of time. I'm constantly talking to the cat. That plan is based when I go to them and talk to them, the only thing they know is how to be my horse.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So my question is, I guess, is, you know, how do you feel about talking to the animals while you're moving them in the pens when you get them out?
I have absolutely no issue with that whatsoever. If you're talking to the cattle and you're in a calm demeanor, and you're not using your voice to move them, in other words, to scare them away or do any of that stuff, no, I have no problem with that at all. None. None at all. Well, yes, sir.
Cow calf standpoint, how long does this type of feeding stay with the being placed after do this in the pen, bring it in, come back a couple times? Does that stay with us until they're 15-year-old cows unless somebody screws that along the way?
Absolutely. If you handle them that way consistently, they never do forget it. Now, if somebody, you know, messes around with them and jams them up, they can get to where they're tough to handle, just like any other calf or cow. But they will very quickly respond when you start doing it properly again. They do remember. Absolutely.
And then a follow-up question on that. You talked about keeping pairs together.
Yes. Well, I'll tell you what I did with that cow herd in Texas, because that was the problem that they were having there. I mean, the first fall I was there, I came in September, we weaned in November, 358 cows and weaned 256 calves. The biggest pasture on that place is 100 acres. Now, how does that happen? And it happens just because of what you said. The cows take off and leave the babies, and while they're over eating fresh grass in this rotation pasture, the coyotes are dining on beef buffet back there. So what I did with those cows is, you know, just I didn't let them go to the other pasture until they took their calf with them. So in other words, they'd come to the gate, and I just worked back and forth in front of them and drive them back, and I drove them back. And I mean, it took a long time. It took me 4 months to where I could drive down there and they didn't try to run over me to get through the gate into the new pasture. But I would just turn them around and drive them back, and pretty soon the wheels start turning. They're like, oh, okay, yeah, I have something I'm supposed to take with me, like my kid, you know? And now I don't have any trouble with that at all.
None.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And, you know, occasionally some of the older cows there they'll forget their calf still, but they'll get to the new pasture, and then suddenly a bell will go off, and they're like, I forgot my kid, and they turn, and you can see them coming back. And they'll go back and pick it up and then come on to the new pasture. So, tougher after they've been handled this way, or actually, no, it makes it easier, if you can believe that or not, because the cow and the calf are not stressed. And that's a big issue at weaning time, is how you split the cow from the calf. Okay. Anything else? Yes, sir.
What do y'all do here? Are you preconditioning these calves in the country for other people or for yourself?
Right now, we wean our own calves in the fall and buy anywhere, depending on how much grass we have, you know, between 800 and 1,000 wean calves, and we just kind of get them through the winter and take them on through till July and sell them. So we're keeping everything we buy, we keep for ourselves right now. I think that's going to change. We're probably going to start getting calves ready to go to wheat.
Y'all buy local calves?
Some of each. The majority of them he bought this year through Superior Auction, so they were ranch origin calves. But we have bought sale barn calves. Yeah.
I just thought your comment, you know, about the Negro death law. There's certain times of the year with auction barn calves.
Yeah, I understand. What I'm saying in that is that I don't ever allow myself an excuse of any kind like that. I understand and accept that that does happen. I do. But for me, in my mind, in the way my brain works, I will not accept that any calf has to die. There's got to be something I can do to stop that. There has to be. I don't.
I think y'all have done a few. You buy those preconditioned cards. Maybe you can just have some kind of program or maybe.
You know, my experience in the feedlot, we had just as much trouble with preconditioned calves before Bud came. In fact, we stopped buying wean calves for that reason. Preconditioned or not, they died like flies. I mean, we couldn't keep them alive. And then, you know, after Bud came there and we learned some things, we weaned, oh, man, probably 50,000 calves there. And we never mass medicated on arrival or in the feed or water, never. And I don't remember ever having a death loss over 2% in any group of calves. When it's done properly. Now, it takes a long time to get that competent. And I don't want you to think that I'm saying if you lose a calf that you're not doing your job properly. That's not it at all. I just approach it from that perspective myself, because that forces me to pay attention to every single thing I do in that pen. That's why I think about it in those terms. Anything else? Yes.
I don't think it's tough to give you the range there if you have that.
As doctoring cattle on pasture, my personal preference is to walk it to a pen if you have one available. If you don't, you know what? I've seen guys that can rope a calf and put it down and doctor it, and they do an absolutely fantastic job. My concern with roping or, you know, doing it that way is how much stress are you creating in the rest of the animals while you're after that one sick one. I mean, if you're galloping through there and your horse and cattle are scattering every which way, and you may rope the calf you're after and doctor him, but you may have just created three or four sick ones. And that's something that we learned, at least I learned in the feedlot, was that if you pull a calf that's really, really sick out of a pen, you've got a problem in there, and there's probably half a dozen more that are getting ready to get sick. So we sort of shifted our focus away from, you know, worrying so much about that one sick animal to worrying about how to keep the rest from getting that way. Well, that takes a lot of, I don't have enough time to explain to you how to do that, but it absolutely can be done. If, you know, when you work with them like that in the pen, you can walk one animal away from the herd very, very easily. Very easily.
Okay, we do need to wind up so we can turn our room over. And I think Don will be around for questions and in the back if you guys have more questions. And what a great way to spend the morning. So
thank you
very much. Big thank you to Don.